This is Straight Out of Vegas.
Straight Out of Vegas!
With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell.
Pay that man his money.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Live from the Vegas Strip, the pregame show America has always wanted. And now, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ. It is Friday Pick Palooza. What do? We are literally giving you information on every NFL game, the biggest college games, that is not available anywhere else for the low, low price of free. Live, 200 stations across the country, 6 o'clock Eastern. Joined in studio, full house by the pros who know, Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, Brad Powers. All the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. You can't have pros without Joes. He's in L.A. He's Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on a football Friday here on Straight Out of Vegas with the Thursday night football, the debut of Week 7 in the NFL. And it was the Kansas City Chiefs, a 30-6 beatdown of the Denver Broncos. But the story of this game, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who left the game with a dislocated kneecap. No further damage was shown after an MRI earlier today, but he is expected to miss at least a couple of weeks for the Chiefs.
Yeah, so first off, let's do what we do best when it comes to the Vegas stuff. So let's get a report, first of all, from Fezzik, our NFL expert. How much is Mahomes worth? And always backups are the issue, right? The old joke, Joe Montana, worth half a point. Steve Young was his backup. Mahomes doesn't have Steve Young.
Mahomes has Matt Moore, who's a pretty good backup, but it is still an 8-point downgrade.
All right, so eight points over a touchdown. Who else in the NFL is worth more than a touchdown or even a touchdown?
Aaron Rodgers is worth 7.5.
7.5. And anyone else?
Russell Wilson, 6.5.
Ooh, so Russell, who's his backup? Russell Wilson?
Geno Smith.
Wow, that seems low to me. I was thinking, are you saying 16.5 or 6? Seriously. So I'm confused, though. You think Russell Wilson was either the best quarterback entering the year or second behind Mahomes, right?
Yes.
So now if it's Geno Smith and Matt Moore, if you're saying that they're, let's say Mahomes and Russell Wilson are equal, then it's going to be about the backups. And somehow you think Geno Smith is better than Matt Moore?
I don't. It's because Russell Wilson in Seattle. Let me explain. Right. Russell Wilson runs the ball more. Seattle runs the ball more. So because of that, Mahomes on the point spread's worth more.
Okay, now that is an interesting subtlety, because really how valuable is the best receiver in the world if the team runs a triple option? So it's going to be how good is the quarterback, how good's the backup, and how important is the quarterback position for that given team? You know, Fezzik, he has it in him. I mean, that seems so obviously wrong. Boom, he says, well, hold on. Little nuance you got to understand. We're straight out of Vegas. Let's talk about the adjustment in the odds, not the hypothetical stuff, but the adjustment in the odds. So Super Bowl-wise, 9-1 Kansas City was, now 11-1. So you might say, well, wait a minute, RJ, he's supposed to be out 3 to 4 weeks? Is that what we're hearing?
Yes. Yep.
So you might say, that doesn't involve the playoffs. Do you think Kansas City's not going to make the playoffs? Blah, blah, blah. Well, to me, the answer seems obvious. One, every team has a chance, unless they've clinched, to not make the playoffs, right? So if somehow they lose 3 in a row, the odds of Kansas City not making the playoffs goes up. Number two, home field advantage, obviously. Is that what you see, Fez?
Yeah, and the home field advantage, basically, I think kiss it goodbye with New England coasting right now with no losses. It was unlikely anyways, but now it's just a tremendous long shot for KC to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Next game is Week 8, 3.5 versus the Green Bay Packers. So that would have been what, Kansas City at home?
It's Green Bay at home. Green Bay was laying 3.5. That's off the board right now.
Okay, so who had the 3.5 up? Because I want to try to bet that.
Westgate.
I still kind of want to bet it, even though Mahomes is out. Because, wait a minute, Green Bay was at home laying 3.5 to Detroit.
I misspoke. Kansas City was -3.5 hosting Green Bay.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So Kansas City home. Well, it still is a, it seems weird. I mean, Kansas City, let's call Kansas City's home 3. So Kansas City was only a half point better than Green Bay, but Detroit was a half point better in Green Bay when the line was 3.5 in Green Bay. I got to tell you, this Green Bay team is mystifying me. And we'll be talking about that later with the line this week with the Raiders. Man, a lot of respect for the Raiders. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Let's flip to Denver. Not good. I think Denver, I know Denver was a wise guy darling entering the game yesterday. Not so much in that game, but hey, look at the close games they could have won. Oh, Chicago. And then there was one other one.
Jacksonville.
So now all of a sudden, if you have 2 more wins, 2 less losses, it's a whole different, you know, this is like one of the stories. But then they get dominated. A Kansas City defense that struggled the whole year dominates the offense. Flacco did better, I think, up to this game than most people thought, statistically for sure. What did you see?
Denver was completely unable to run. It put pressure on Flacco, and when Denver started passing more, they couldn't protect him at all. He got sacked 8 times.
Okay, so what you're saying is Denver cannot be one-dimensional because Flacco's not that good. The playmakers for Denver are not that good. Thus, they've got to be multiple. They got to run. They got to pass. And passing is it's kind of old school then in a way that the running establishes the ability to pass. Is that what you see for Denver?
Yes.
So is it fair to say that as we move forward, what we want to do with Denver is say, are they going to be able to at least be competent running? And if they are competent running, the chances of them having a good offense in that game are decent. But if they can't run, forget about it.
Yes, but if you can't be competent running against Kansas City, who are you going to be competent against?
Well, which that's a great point. But it kind of begs the question, how much do we take away from this game? Because it's a short week. You know, in a weird way, you got to almost half weight, 50% weight these Thursday games. Because and I think London games are like that. There's so much variance. There's so many other factors. Okay, anything else to talk about? I got one kind of more the human character. What I saw on Twitter really encouraged me, and it's a phenomenon, I haven't said that very many times, it's a phenomenon that I think is just human, which is we might not like Patrick Mahomes as a, you know, we might be a fan of the Steelers, a fan of the Chargers, whatever. I have a few Chargers fans. But when we see this guy who you could make the case at various points was stretching the limits of the human race, that the way he was playing quarterback was as great as anyone that's ever walked the earth. And even if you're not a fan of the team or even a fan of his style, you appreciate that we're all human, we're all limited, we're all mortal. And when you see someone that's just on that bleeding edge, there's a greatness to it. And we appreciate that because we're kind of on his team, right? The team of the human race, which is very cheesy. That's why I said it like that, ironically. But still, it's true. And what I saw was a lot of people like wishing for the best. Because think about the other side. Imagine if it's like, yeah, horrible injury. Within 12 months, he may be back, you know, like a Bridgewater type thing. It would be like snuffing out this, you know, this little flicker of greatness. And greatness has enough limitation, right? It comes and it goes. If you're a musician, whatever it is, it usually doesn't last for a long time. And, you know, we're seeing it. And that's one of the great things about sports. We bet, we're trying to make money. But, Fezzik, I know that's probably all it is. I mean, do you have any of this? Do you feel any of this? Or are you just thinking about, is there any way to in-game bet this? Or, I mean, like, what were you thinking at the time?
You know, 10 seconds after a guy gets hurt, I'm looking for a way to play against their team. I just bet against Zion Williamson in New Orleans, for instance, under 38.5 season wins. I'm a mercenary.
Yeah, I think that's too nice of a word for it. But okay. Now, all that said, we got to be honest to ourselves. Brad is here. You know, he's got his little ways about him. He tries to act all innocent. But when we were talking, and again, you just let them talk, they finally tell you something that's very interesting. Your action, you saw Mahomes go down.
Yep.
Instead of calling your dad and saying, "Dad, life's short," you did what?
I was looking to bet Russell Wilson MVP odds. I'm like, wow, if Mahomes is going to miss a few games, Wilson is going to be almost a lock to win the MVP. Let me get down. Nope, didn't happen. It was only less than a half hour after the injury, too.
I'm the dirtiest player in the game.
It's kind of like on Wall Street. They go, Gecko was on the phone shorting NASA 30 seconds after the Challenger exploded. I mean, you guys. All right, we got always on Friday. The first thing we do after the lead story is an early best bet.
And we go to Indianapolis Colts -1. I like this play. I bet this play. It's all about Indy getting the bye at the right time. A couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we saw Indy losing to the Raiders at home. Well, how did they lose to the Raiders? Well, a big part of it was all the injuries to Indianapolis. Well, Indy got their playmakers back 2 weeks ago, last game, T.Y. Hilton and the running back Mac. But these guys were not close to 100%. Now that they've had a bye, I expect that they will be 100%. I also expect that Indy's best defender, linebacker Darius Leonard, will be back as well. And so Indy back at full strength. I like Indy in this game.
I agree with this one. Indy, first of all, the linebacker, my understanding is back. You know, I mean, you never know at the last minute, but I think it's fair to say that. I also think I like buys when the coaching is superior. And to me, Frank Reich is one of the underrated coaches out there. So also, I just did Houston Radio earlier. They feel like that the team was taking Kansas City more seriously. Now, seriously, maybe with more passion, more focus. They wanted that win that was going to get everyone talking about them. Though practically, if they had to choose, they'd rather lose to Kansas City and beat the Colts because it's against the main competition. So I do think that even though this division game means so much, Houston might be at 9 instead of 10 off of that win. And we know right now Houston has had more discussion recently about how good they are, about how good Watson is in the last week than any time ever. So whenever your shoeshine guy is talking about buying stocks, you sell stocks. Whenever everyone, Barney at the bar is talking about, you know who's been underrated? That Watson. You know, that's the time to look to play against Houston. Fez, I agree with you and your best bet on the Colts. All right, when we come back, we do it every week, every Friday. Every game on the NFL board, we're going to give you one thing that no other show is going to give you about that game.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, let's dive into this weekend's games in the NFL, and let's start with a game we touched on briefly last segment. It is the Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts on pregame.com. The Colts are a one-point favorite right now.
Yeah, Fez has a best bet on the Colts, early best bet every Friday, first segment. Here's an interesting one. Texans tackle Howard. He was the number one pick, you know, number one pick for the Texans. Now, how good is he? Number one picks usually are decent, but he's a rookie. The advanced numbers, and this is coming from ESPN's PBWR, which is very advanced stats. They do it on a per-play basis. Says that Howard is the third best pass-blocking tackle in football. Third. Now, the question in every Houston game, can Houston protect Watson? That's the question. With Howard out, I think that's a vital part of this week's answer, and that's another reason I like Fez's best bet on the Colts.
The biggest favorite this weekend is the Buffalo Bills. The Bills, 17-point favorites, hosting the Miami Dolphins.
Speaking of big, Brad Powers.
Yeah, it's the largest favorite role for the Bills since 1992. Huge spread.
I was graduating college. Wow. You know, I remember in 92, and you might think I'm joking, Stan Humphries led the Chargers to like 13 straight covers.
Really?
Look it up. Longest in ever. You remember that, Fez?
Yes. Yeah,
you weren't betting in 92.
They started, that was the year they started in 04.
You were playing with your abacus. Come on. Now, speaking of Fez's various mathematical inclinations, I got kind of involved in some research here. This blew my mind. Imagine we've talked about it, sides and totals, right? So how are they correlated? So for example, Bills favored by 17, the over under the total is 40.5. Now think about that, 17, and it's a kind of a low scoring game. There's an old school mentality in Vegas, which I think is generally true. The underdog points are more valuable if there's lower totals. Because think about it. The spread is something to overcome if you're the favorite. And if you think about it, what's the percentage of the spread? That spread, what percentage of the total does that make up? So for example, let's say that you're laying 10, the total's 40. Okay, well, that's a quarter of the total that you've got to have just for yourself just to cover the spread. And usually that's the threshold. If it's a 3-to-1 ratio, meaning if you take the spread and times it by 3, is it bigger than the total? If that's the case, that's a sign that, man, these underdog points are very valuable. And if you can, whisper, bet the dog in the under, because there's a correlation. There's not. That's an old wise tale. Now, next week, I'm going to get into all of the details, but this is what's pertinent for this game. We said about the 3-to-1 ratio, right? Well, if you go 17 times 3, and then you subtract out the total in this case, you literally get 10.5, meaning the total could be 10.5 points higher. This total could be 51, and it still would kind of meet the 3-to-1 ratio exactly in that case. There hasn't been a game with this kind of low total and this kind of high spread. Dolphins, Bills favored by 17, total 40.5. Hasn't been one of these since what's it been? It's been 2013. So it's like, 6 years. Historically, these extreme differences in sides and totals, 25 and 12 against the spread for the underdog. Now, I told you historically the old 3-to-1 ratio doesn't work as much as, or at all really, that people think it does. But when it's a 3-to-1 ratio, even if the total went up 10 points, that's so extreme. And like I said, it hasn't happened in 6 years. Historically, it's been a 68% winner, and that points clearly Dolphins plus 17.
To the NFC North we go, where the Detroit Lions are hosting the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota, a 2.5-point favorite.
Now, we broke this recently, and it's something for sure that you cannot bet Minnesota's games without the Kirk Cousins factor. The old story was, the bright lights, the TV games hurt them. Jonas sent us down the trail and said, no, we think it's the start time because he's the type that loves a routine. We found out it's the start time. When it's a 1 o'clock game, Cousins is 66% against the spread, 31 and 16, one push. When it's a non-1 o'clock, he's 33% against the spread. Now that's kind of convenient. 2/3 of the time he covers at 1 o'clock, 1/3 of the time if it's not 1 o'clock, it's 1 o'clock, I wouldn't bet against Minnesota.
The Jaguars are 4-point favorites at the winless Bengals.
The winless Bengals. I tell you, this is a game that's kind of interesting me. I guess the question is, what is the Ramsey factor? Because I think there's two possibilities here. One is, hoo-wee, that problem's off our hands. Good player, but enough already. And I think that's the case regardless, right? But here's the question. Is there a little depression, our owner was going to try to resign him. If he would have came in, maybe the rebuild doesn't have to start. The mustache is doing well. So I think maybe the first game, it's a little bit of a negative for Jacksonville. But I think game 2 and 3, it's going to be a relief to have that distraction out of the building, I guess pulling up in the Brinks truck sometimes can be a little distraction.
The Rams are at the Falcons. LA is a 3-point favorite.
So Fez, this is something where if you look at the Rams O-line, oh wow.
Yeah, the Rams have struggled protecting Goff way more than last year, but I don't think it's an issue this week because the Atlanta Falcons are last in the league in sacks.
Yes, last is not good. And I tell you this, Quinn, I think he's a dead man walking. I think this could be a dream crusher situation where losing, missed extra point against Arizona, I don't think they recover from that. Quinn is the defensive coordinator and the head coach. He fired a lot of people in the offseason. He said reset time. Well, reset game match, it seems like. One last thing about the Rams here. I believe this is a huge positive, Ramsey. This year? The whole year, yeah. Why? Because you're giving nothing up now. You're getting maybe the best corner in football, one of the top five. Do I think it was a good trade? No. Two number ones and a four is too much. But I don't own the Rams. I'm not a Rams. I'm talking about this year. And I think the week it's the biggest upgrade, this week. Because when you lose three in a row, you're off the Super Bowl loss. There's a sense of, are we another victim of that? They're saying, no, we're winning now. We're gonna get whatever loan we need, but we're going to get the money we need, the players we need, and we are going to win now. The players are certainly going to take a cue from that. And when you have a road favorite like the Rams are, the big issue is oftentimes focus. I can't imagine the Rams aren't going to be hyper-focused with the statement that the front office made, win now Rams.
We've got a big favorite in the NFC coming up here in just a moment. Want to let you know Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone knows there are all different kinds of jobs out there. If you've got a today job, select free same-day store pickup. If you'd rather take care of the job tomorrow, you can order as late as 10 p.m. with free next-day delivery on AutoZone.com. Get in the zone, AutoZone. The San Francisco 49ers find themselves 9.5-point favorites at the Redskins.
Yeah, I think for those that are going to watch our Super Contest picks, 66% on the season. Think about that. We went 15 weeks last year at 67%. Five picks a week. Last 2 weeks, not as good. But there was a meta game to it. We were one game back, so we were being contrarian. But still, a great year, well over 60%. This year, 66%. So if you eliminate the two end-of-the-year weeks, which I think is fairly legitimate, but let's set that aside with a smile, 15 weeks plus, what was there, seven or six this week so far, right?
Yep.
21 weeks that we've been 66% in front of the world. Now, Steve, 55% is what a professional bettor wants to win. That's his goal.
That's a real good year, yes.
That's 2.5 percentage points above break even. So we are seven times that. If you take 2.5 times seven or 6.5 is about where we are at 66%. So we're like doing seven times better than a professional bettor over like a year and a half.
Yes, and I think you're 6-0 on our fifth game to put in that you have final decision.
I got to be honest, I'm feeling it. I am feeling it. The surprise here might be that we're going to be playing the 49ers. Steve doesn't know it yet. Here's the thing. This is one of those situations you keep consuming information and finally you get this little nugget. Shanahan hates the Redskins. He felt like his dad got done wrong. It wasn't that he got done wrong. His dad got done wrong. Is he going to do a flea flicker in the fourth quarter? I don't know. But I know that they're not going to be lackadaisical. The players know this. Obviously, Shanahan knows it. And if you look at Washington, another brilliant take, I think, and this is from Mike Lombardi. Yeah, Jay Gruden wasn't any good as a head coach, but he was the offensive coordinator. And as an offensive coordinator, Jay Gruden's mighty good. Now you got an old school guy in there that looks like he's a Marine sergeant. I love that in general. I like the Marines, but I don't want to run the ball in 2019 like it's a test of manhood.
And if you're going to do that, don't tell your opponent you're going to do it ahead of time.
And don't do it against the best defensive line we've seen in 20 years, maybe in the NFL. San Fran may be a pick.
Mariota is out, Tannehill is in, and the Titans are 2.5-point favorites hosting the Chargers.
Chargers, big disappointment. A lot of it has to do with injuries, Steve. You think there's a good sign for the Chargers?
Yeah, finally, some good news on the injury front. Left tackle Okun, best lineman for the Chargers, comes back. He's likely to play. He's been practicing. This is a big upgrade that I don't think the market is reflecting enough.
Ravens at the Seahawks. Seattle is a 3-point favorite.
One of the things that we got to do more cleanly on the show is tell you when we've got a position, when it's something that we're going to pound our fist on. Here's my position. Seattle is overrated. And doesn't mean I'm going to play the Ravens here, But what I'm telling you is I believe Seattle is way overrated. Now, I've been saying that not as cleanly, and I got some people on Twitter going, RJ, aren't you ready to apologize? No, Seattle's overrated. And I ask you to find me their best win. Go look at the schedule. It's a little homework project. And other than Arizona, which remember, one other element of that Arizona game, there's only four teams that run the Pete Carroll defense. Seattle's one of them. Chargers are one of them. Jacksonville's one of them. And Arizona's one of them. Well, if the defense is named after the guy you're playing, probably not a good matchup for Arizona in that game. Otherwise, Seattle has won some close games. Let's give them credit. But in the long run, those close games even out. Seattle, overrated. RJ Bell says it.
Saints at the Bears. Chicago is a four-point favorite.
Oh, Fezzy, you love this one. As much as the Saints, the perception is, that defense. DVOA, only number 13 in the NFL, the Saints. And they're actually better against the pass than the run. I think the Bears are going to make a statement trying to run the ball. That might seem futile, and maybe it is, but boy, the Saints maybe aren't as good against the rush, at least DVOA, which I respect that metric, says so.
Sunday night football, we go. Dallas is a 2.5-point favorite hosting Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's handicap at this point is simple. Can the opposing team exploit the weaknesses in the secondary? Philly's secondary is weak. If you exploit it, Minnesota, easy. If you can't, Jets with Falk, then Philly's fine. Dallas, Dak, he's not great, but he's good. Look at the injuries at receiver. Cluster injuries, multiple injuries at the same position group. If you look at the three receivers on Dallas that's available, wow, not good at all.
Yeah, but just before the show, this was just announced about 90 minutes ago, Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb are going to play for the Cowboys on Sunday.
Both are playing.
Yes.
I swear that swings, like to me, it's a pass. And what we'll do before the end of the show is give an update on the line and let's see if the market's moved.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
And remember, guys, caveat, even my very best bets are going to lose over 40%. We're trying to hit 56, 57 on our very best bets. This one's simple. What should the line be between the Giants and Arizona if it's in New York? Well, if it was last week, I think 3. I think it's fair to say Giants, not the worst team, but amongst that next tier. And Arizona, not quite the worst, but among that next tier, right? Cincinnati's worst, Miami's worst. Okay, Washington. So what's happened since? Is the Giants have gotten back their tight end, and they've gotten back Barkley, who by Fezzik's account, and I agree, is one of the most valuable non-quarterbacks in the NFL. There's only a couple of them worth 1.5. So if the line should have been 3, Giants at home without Barkley in the tight end, what should it be now? Above 3. The line's 3. This is the simplest handicap you can get. I also think Barkley coming back first game since Jones has played really well in that Bucs game, that it's both Jones and Barkley starting a game is a sign that the crowd's going to be excited. The rest of the team's going to be excited. I think Arizona got lucky to win those two games. And my best bet so far this season in the NFL, Giants -3.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.